You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are starting a new series tonight called On a Journey. And this is basically a discipleship series. The goal basically of this series is for us to know what biblical discipleship is all about and how can we take part in it. Because if you've been attending Victory for the longest time, you would know that we're all about discipleship. Diba? Every Sunday na lang, makatanong tag, honor God, make disciples. You'd hear stuff about Victory Weekend, Victory Group, one-to-one, discipleship classes, and all these other things. Why is it na big deal ang discipleship? And what does it look like? We're gonna tackle those things in our new series. Now, sa series na to called On a Journey, as it talks about discipleship, one interesting thing that it talks about discipleship is that it describes it as a journey. It's not a process. You might think ng discipleship parang process. You go to one-to-one or a victory group. You go to victory weekend. You attend a discipleship class or you volunteer. Then maybe you get to be a full-time member of a staff or something like that. But discipleship is more than that. It's not just a step-by-step process. It is a journey. Discipleship is all about following Jesus and going on a journey with Him, getting to know Him, who He is, and with other people. It's all about relationships. Basically, it is like when you go on a trip and you take a look at the scenery, you get to know the place, the history, the culture, you get to experience the food there and all that. You're getting to know the place. It's a journey. The same thing with Jesus. Same thing with discipleship. It is a journey, not a process. It's not just a set of do's and don'ts. Dili siya mag-apply kag trabaho or apply kag scholarship. It is a journey to get to know Jesus. It's about following Him. Which is why our first installment for tonight is B1. B1, meaning if you're talking about discipleship, the first thing we need to know is being a disciple first. For us to make disciples, for us to do so, we need to first understand what does it mean to be a disciple. Or rather, we'll answer these two important questions today. Why should we follow Jesus? And secondly, what does it mean to be a devoted disciple of Jesus? What does it look like to be following Jesus? Because we might say na, I know Jesus. I follow Jesus. But perhaps we're not really disciples pala. We're just saying things lang. So we'll answer those two questions tonight. And for that, can you turn your Bible to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Now I'm going to be focusing on these two verses later on. And what we're going to do tonight is that we're going to look at several passages in John chapter 8. So I'm not going to read to you everything. Now I'm just going to read to you the main two verses. And then later on, we'll unpack the rest of the other verses in John chapter 8. It says here in John chapter 8, verse 31, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word today, dear God. Thank You for speaking to us and reminding us what it means to follow You and why should we follow You, Lord God. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, the book of John, or the gospel account, according to John, was, of course, written by John. And now, there are four gospel accounts, and each of them was written to a specific audience or for a specific purpose. There's Matthew's, Mark's, Luke's, and of course, kang John. Kang John naman, in John chapter 20, verse 31, we get this verse that tells us basically the purpose of why John made this gospel account. He says here, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name." So basically, John made this gospel account to tell people that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's not just some person, some wise man, some teacher, or some guy from Galilee doing these amazing things. No, He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. Munang purpose niya. So in other words, since that's the overarching theme of the book, meaning knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior, meaning it is a good place to start basically for us to know if Jesus is worth following. If you want to dig deeper, learn more, and read more, why should we follow Jesus? The book of John is a good place to start. Again, we'll answer the two questions, why should we follow Jesus and what it means to follow Him. Now for this chapter, John chapter 8, as I mentioned earlier, we'll look at several instances in the chapter wherein Jesus had an interface or a moment that He spoke to mga different groups of people. As He spoke to those groups of people, we would learn and unpack why is it worth siya following. The first instance was when Jesus was in the presence of the Pharisees and the scribes and later on, this adulterous woman that was caught. In John chapter 8, verse 3 to 5, it says here, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to Him, 'Teacher, this woman had been caught in the act of adultery. Verse 5, now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? Now that line right there is a reference to a law, to Jewish law that Moses gave to his people. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 to 24, meaning these guys didn't just make it up. They were referencing a law and they were trying to do this to test and capture Jesus. It says there in the law that if a betrothed virgin, meaning like a young woman who is promised in marriage to another person, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city and you shall stone them to death with stones. That was her Jewish law. If you commit adultery, you would be stoned. Now, again, in verse 6, they said this to test him because they wanted to trap Jesus. There were some people who thought that he was teaching dangerous things, so they wanted to kill him. In verse 7, it says here, as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. So Jesus basically did a very wise thing here. He didn't just take a stone and throw it at a woman. He didn't take the role of a judge. But at the same time, he didn't say, don't do so. He says, let him who has no sin. Because in their custom as well, or in the law as well, the witness has to throw the first stone as well. He says, let him throw the first stone at her. In verse 8, and once more he bent down again and started writing on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones and later on the younger ones. In verse 10, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. Now, this is a very important statement that Jesus told the woman. He could have easily just said, all right, that's what the law of Moses says. Sige, pati na ng woman. But it goes to show that Jesus' purpose on earth was not to condemn people. As he says in that first line, neither do I condemn you. He doesn't condemn the woman, but at the same time, he doesn't say, okay na magkasala ka. He doesn't stop there. He says, go and from now on, sin no more. Don't do this again. Also, it's interesting that he mentions first na, I do not condemn you. He didn't say, go and sin no more, so I will not condemn you. This isn't a works-based system right here. Jesus didn't say, try your best not to do this so that I won't condemn you. No, sa start pa lang dan, Jesus said, I won't condemn you. He enabled this woman to live a pure and holy life by saying, go and sin no more. Don't do this again because you are not condemned. And this is important right here, church, because the same way with us, we might not be like the adulterous woman, but as we talk about sins, much like the woman, we would be in the same place apart from Jesus. Without Christ, we would experience a punishment as well, much like the woman. In Romans 6:23, it says, therefore, the wages of sin is death. If you remember a few weeks ago in our Amazing Grace series, we talked about the justifying grace of God. You guys remember that? The justifying grace of God. God gave this unmerited favor to mankind so that he could justify them, pronounce them as righteous. And the way that happened was Jesus. Him die on the cross for our sins. What he did for us on the cross is the reason why we have been justified. The penalty of our sins was paid for by Christ. So in the same way, in John 3:17, the same way that Jesus told the woman, I will not condemn you, he says here, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's Jesus' purpose. To redeem mankind, to save mankind. He called her to repentance and as a merciful and compassionate Savior, gave her reason to hope for pardon and eternal life. In other words, just to sum up this first part, we should follow Jesus because he offers us forgiveness for our sins. To any of us here today who are asking to be forgiven for something that you've done, perhaps you're carrying a certain guilt or shame with you for the longest time, or you're struggling with something for the longest time, there is forgiveness in Christ. People say you need to forgive yourself. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says receive forgiveness in Christ from Jesus. And there is complete and total forgiveness. Think about that. Wouldn't you want to follow someone who died on the cross for your sins, who redeemed you, who saved you, who's offering you forgiveness of your sins, a new life? That's the kind of person we're talking about here today. That's Jesus. Now, in another instance, in the same chapter, he was talking to another group of people, some Jewish believers. And he says, After some exchange with them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Connecting with our previous statements about sin, he offers forgiveness for sins. And perhaps you're thinking here, why do I need Jesus to be forgiven of my sins? What if I just bawio na ako ng gibuhat na ako? Okay, perhaps you have that mindset for the longest time. You want to do good to try and erase something bad that you've done. It says here, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who practices sin. Now, have you ever gone on a day nga wala mo nakasala? Wala, of course not. Have you ever gone a week and you haven't done anything wrong? No. Because of our sinful nature, we have a tendency to sin. It's so much easier for us to sin than it is for us to do the right thing, isn't it? Mas kailangan ka mag-effort kung magbinutan ka kaysa magbinugoy lang ka. Mas dali ka kayo mag-do something wrong, mag-sin. We are slaves to sin. On our own, we are slaves. And how many of you know that slaves, for them to get free, they need someone to liberate them? That is the same situation with us. We needed a Savior who would set us free from the bondages of our sin. As I mentioned earlier, if you're struggling with a sin issue, something that you've been trying to have a breakthrough of, but for the longest time it's just there, it's frustrating, you can't break that with your own willpower or your own strength or resources or your own intellect. You need the grace of God. It says here, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In other words, church, he frees us from being slaves to sin. That's why he's worth following. He offers forgiveness and freedom from our sins. And not just that, in John 8 verse 12, this is him talking to the Pharisees naman. The Pharisees are the religious leaders at their time. And Jesus was having this exchange with them. And at one point he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What he means by this is basically he is making this bold claim that he is the exclusive source of spiritual light, that no other source of spiritual truth is available to mankind. That if you want to know from what is right, what is wrong, what is spiritually true, we ought to go to Jesus. And it's very important because he's saying this in front of Pharisees. People who claim to know about God, who are religious, who were really medyo believe kasi sila sa own righteousness nila. So medyo may self-righteousness sila. They didn't think that they needed a Savior. And Jesus was telling them, you are basically this statement, but like a slap in their face, telling them you're as blind as anyone out there. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. We need to follow him because he is the light of the world. In other words, whatever is your status right now, whether you're a new believer here in the church, or you've been attending church for the longest time, whether you're a volunteer, a staff member, we need Jesus for us to know what is spiritually true, for us to be the light of the world as well as we have been called to be the salt and light. We need first to go to the light of the world, him, okay, see Jesus. And in John chapter 8, verse 53, after that exchange with the Pharisees, he had another instance naman. He was talking to another group of people. Because of his claims, him being the light of the world, he claimed that he could free them from the bondage of their sins. And he did things like he offered forgiveness of their sins. There were some people who questioned Jesus. Okay, there were some people who were angry with Jesus. And they were telling him, are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Because Abraham is well respected for the Jewish people. He's basically the father of their nation. Jewish nation started with Abraham. It's like their founding father. So very much held in high honor to Abraham. And here comes Jesus proclaiming all these grand things. And their statement is basically telling Jesus, are you greater than Abraham? He died. And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? It's like telling Jesus, Abraham died. He was a man of faith. David died. He was this man after God's own heart. The prophets who would hear from God, who would proclaim the will of the Lord, they died. And the kings as well were wise and amazing. They died as well. These mighty men of God, they died. Who are you bang that you make yourself out to be? Kinsa ba kas Jesus? And Jesus made this bold statement in front of people. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Basically, after this, some people tried to stone him or tried to capture him. Because this statement, if you were an ordinary person, if you weren't Jesus and you say this to your face, you would be guilty of blasphemy. Because what Jesus basically said here, he was referencing what God told Moses when Moses asked God, Lord, kinsa ka? So when I would go to Egypt and they would tell me, who sent you? I can tell them your name. And God told Moses in Exodus 3 verse 14, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's God talking to Moses hundreds of years before that time of Jesus. So what happened here is that Jesus is basically equating himself on the same level as God, saying, before Abraham was, I am. This is a statement that the people then knew, that he's greater than Abraham. He didn't just say, before Abraham was, I was, meaning I'm older than Abraham. He didn't just say that. He says, I am. Words that were spoken of by God. And what this means for us, church, that Jesus is greater than any other person. Nowadays, diba, we all subscribe to certain people we look up to. Am I right? Like you follow celebrities, artists, influential people, like in social media, in Twitter, Instagram. You follow people you like. Diba? And you want to hear from that person, from his tweets, his posts, things from his life. You want to know more about that person. Well, guess what? Jesus is far greater than any person in history. Any other person in history. Any person in the Bible, in fact. Remember our Inviting Grace installment last week? That talked about the great high priest. Kisa ang great high priest na to? It's Jesus. He's our great high priest. And one description of that great high priest is that he is sinless. He's like us, but not like us in a way that he knows what it means to be human. He was tempted, but he did not sin. He's apart from sinners. Sinless, pure, blameless. That's Jesus. No one else in the Bible, neither Abraham, David, the apostles, none of them came close to Jesus. He is superior than anything else. So if you were to follow something, because here's the thing, if you don't want to follow Jesus, you might be following something else. It's not a question whether we want to have someone to follow or not. We are all following something. Whether you're following a certain celebrity, a trend, an ideology, a belief out there, kinatanan, we're following something. The question is, are you following the right thing? Or are you following the best thing for your life? Or the best person for your life? Well, to sum it up, why we should follow Jesus, basically, one, he offers forgiveness for our sins and freedom from our sins. And of course, he is God. Jesus is not just some person, some wise man, some preacher. He is God. That's why he's not like any other person in this world. He is God. So if we want to live a life that honors God, we ought to follow Jesus. Kaya nga sa one-to-one. One-to-one, diba? What's chapter 2 in one-to-one? Lordship. It's submitting to Lordship of Christ. Acknowledging that Jesus calls the shots in your life. Following him. Why? Because you know that he's done so much for you that he knows what's best for you. He died on the cross for your sins. He is God. And he knows what's best for you. He knows how to lead your life. We ought to follow Jesus. There are just a few things I can share tonight, but kani palang daan. Forgiveness of sins palang daan. Think about that. He has assured us of our eternity, of our salvation. Who else has given that to you? Who else can do that for you? None but Jesus, church. That's why we should follow Jesus. Now, the second question we have for tonight is, what does it mean to be a devoted disciple of Jesus? All right, I want to follow Jesus. How do I do that? Do I just change in my Facebook account and about the Christian? Okay na. Christiano na ako, disciple na ako. What do I do? Do I have to wear Christian shirts? No, Jesus period, John 3:16. Wala akong mga sanina na ako natanan. What do I do to become a devoted disciple of Jesus? This is wherein we go back to our main verses a while ago. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says here, this is Jesus talking to a group of Jewish people who believed in him and what he had done and spoken. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now we'll unpack those of that verse, word by word, in some keywords. The first is the word disciples. Since we're talking about discipleship, let's define lang muna, what does it mean to be a disciple? Disciple here comes from a Greek word, mathetes, which means one who engages in learning through instruction from another. A pupil, an apprentice. One who is rather constantly associated with someone who has a particular set of views. In other words, again, a disciple is a student of someone else, a follower of someone else's teachings or beliefs, closely associated siya na person. And in this context, a disciple here is someone who follows Jesus. Someone who is a student of his teachings, who is closely associated with what he has taught or his views. That is a disciple. Okay, so meaning, a disciple is someone who closely follows and obeys the teachings of Christ. In fact, it says there in verse 31, once again, that a true disciple is someone who abides in my word, Jesus said. If a disciple is someone who is like a student, a follower, someone who subscribes to the teachings of someone, it says here, a true disciple of Christ is someone who abides in his word. Now, what does the word abide there mean? Abide, from the Greek word meno, means to continue in an activity or state, to remain in or to keep on. Meaning to say, when you use the word abide, it means to remain there, to continue doing what you've been doing, to keep holding on to that thing. Muna ang abide. Now the verse says we are to abide in His Word. We are to continue to hold on, to remain in His Word. Pasabot sa word and a verse is basically the sum teaching of what He has been teaching in His ministry. It's not just His words. It's the sum of everything that He's been teaching. And what is the sum of everything? John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us what this word is. John chapter 1 verse 1, because the same Greek word used in John 8 verse 31 is used here as well. Logos. It says here in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, what the verse mentioned is that we are to abide, to remain in Him, in Jesus. His word points to Him, Jesus. When you read the Word of God as well, the Bible, the things there points to Jesus. Remember the book of Hebrews? That it tells the Jewish, the Hebrew people that the Old Testament, the stories, the themes there, it all finds its fulfillment in Jesus. This word right here that we are to abide on is all about Jesus. John 15 verse 6 even says, if anyone does not abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So in other words, as we talk about being a disciple of Christ, we are to make sure we are connected to Jesus. It's not just doing a set of rules, but rather being a true disciple of Christ means that you are holding on. You have that connection to Jesus. Are you in Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know God? Or do you know Jesus? Or do you know about Jesus lang? Have you heard things about Jesus? Or have you heard from Jesus mismo? There's a difference between just knowing things about Him and knowing Him personally as well. What do I mean by this? In the next part, in verse 32, it says here, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the Greek language, there are two words for the word know. Ginosko or eido. Eido is to understand. It's like head knowledge. When you're trying to study something for an exam or a certain concept, you're trying to understand. That's what eido is. It's like head knowledge. Kasambut ka in your head. But ginosko, to know, is to personally experience something that you would know and understand it. Meaning it goes beyond head knowledge. Na truly, akabulod yung kaunsa ng pasabot ng thing because you've experienced it firsthand. What I mean by this? I'm going to show this story just to illustrate the difference. There's the guy by the name of Charles Blondin. And see, Charles Blondin is a tightrope walker way back, I think the 30s. And this guy became famous at this time because he was tightrope walking over the Niagara Falls. Can you imagine over a waterfalls that's several feet long and several feet high as well, nakasuspend ang rope. And he was tightrope walking, meaning there's wind, he could fall to the river. And he did several gimmicks pa. At one point, nag-bicycle siya sa tightrope. Naglakaw siya, naka-blindfold. At one point, while he was tightrope walking, he brought a stove with him and cooked a hard-boiled egg. But one amazing story about him was that at one point, he called out to an audience, do you believe I can pass this tightrope? And he said, yeah, we believe. We know you can do it. And then he asked them, all right, who's willing to come with me? And he says, that he recounts the experience that no one, when he called out the invitation, was willing to come with him into the tightrope. They all knew he could do it. They probably seen him do it or heard about him do it in the newspapers. But It was a different thing to be there physically and experience and know kahit niya mula ka sa tightrope. There's a difference between head knowledge and personal experience. And what this verse means in John chapter 8 verse 32, when Jesus said, "You will know the truth," meaning you will firsthand, personally know the truth. If you abide in His word, meaning if you abide in Him, you are truly His disciples, you're truly His followers, and you will firsthand, personally experience the truth. What is the truth? What is this truth talking about? John chapter 14 verse 6 tells us what the truth is. It says here, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, once again, the truth is Himself. Jesus is not a statement, a list, some hidden codes, muni ang secret truth. No, it is a person. It is Jesus. In other words, if we were to go back to that verse, when He says, "Abide in me, you are truly my disciples, and you will firsthand experience me, Jesus." Meaning everything revolves around Him, about Jesus. Oftentimes, we reduce Christianity to tasks, religious duties. Coming in here every week, doing certain things. Yes, it's good to do things for God, but have we been so consumed doing things for Jesus that we've forgotten that the main point, the main thing is Jesus? It's like if you've seen those certain movies about families when they're busy doing something for their family but wala naka spend time sa family nila. Wala naka kuyog, wala naka nakaban kuyog sa family. The same thing with us here today, church. We are to abide, remain in Christ. When was the last time we had a personal moment with Jesus? Did you know that we can have a worship time, not just here in church, but even in your homes, your campus, your workplace, when you're driving? Have those moments with Jesus. And His promise for us that as we abide and remain in Him, we would experience the truth. And this truth would set us free. Again, it is Him who set us free from our sins, from the bondage of our sins. I'm going to end with this statement from, or this quote from R. Boltman. It says here, "He, Christ, is the way in such a manner as to be at the same time the goal. He is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. He's the way, He's our end goal as well. For He is also He, Aletheia, meaning the truth. As He revealed reality of God, Jesus is the truth. He does not simply state it. One does not come to Him to ask about truth, but one comes to Him as the truth because He is the truth." In other words, church, as I wrap up this installment about following Jesus, firstly, He is worth following. And the way we follow Jesus is we abide, remain in Him. Our relationship with Christ, which was first made possible by what He did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Remember, the Bible says that He is the author and perfecter of our faith. What He started in us is able to complete. And so as I wrap this up, I can't tell you which are you, as we talk about the real disciples, meaning there are people who might claim to be disciples of Christ but are not actually living a life as a disciple. So if, as you assess yourself, you might be thinking, "Feel ako dili ko disciple ni Christ. I'm doing something else with my life. I'm not abiding in Him pala." There's my encouragement for us. If you feel like you are like that, be a real disciple. Abide in Him. Abide in His word. And if you are a real disciple, continue to be a real disciple. Continue to be in the faith. Continue to abide in Him. Not give up, even when times get difficult or challenging. Abide in Christ, because it is a journey. As you go on that journey with Christ, you will get to know more about Jesus and experience more of Jesus as well.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.